Welcome back to the program. Lori Rubenson here with you. The Mets, they finally win a series on the road. And to talk about the Mets and some of their problems and issues, we bring in Kevin Kernan from the New York Post, who is down there with them this weekend. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Doing good, Lori. Doing a little driving now, but I'm a very good multitasker. So.
Be safe. That's always the important thing. Appreciate you hopping on. You wrote a couple of interesting articles over the weekend. One, let's start with, was about the Mets defense. And they obviously have a horrendous defense. And you were talking about, we'll start with your premise, which is that there's a disconnect between the Mets saying they're an organization about pitching and then the defense that they put out there. And so was this a flawed plan just going into the entire season, Kevin?
Well, I think the plan was that Lagares would be better than they thought he would be. Ramos was a mistake right from the beginning defensively. So it was semi-flawed. Now, I just came from, I've been down in Florida. I was with the Yankees in Tampa, so I got to see how they're doing things. And then come over to the Mets, and it's just a different world. And I think Brody's learning some things on the job. I think he's trying to figure some things out. And this is the team that you're stuck with right now. And really, here's the interesting thing, though, Laura. I mean, I spent a lot of time with scouts, a lot of scouts around lately, and they say the same thing I've been saying, and in some ways, same things that Brody's been saying. This team is better. Looking at this team personnel-wise, it's better than their record. But I think that's where all the little things in baseball come into play. When you're a representative, when you're an agent, it's about the big picture and stuff like that. What's best for my client? Being a baseball team, all the little things have to come together, and that means little things like defense, some adjustments in some of the pitching. The fact that pitchers get frustrated because the same defensive mistakes are happening. Rosario, that's no secret. He almost freezes on balls to his left for some reason. The great center field plan will go on to production pretty soon, and we'll see if he's up any better out there. But they're really stretching thin now. Conforto, Conforto's a great team player. He's playing center field, but in the long run, it's a dangerous spot for him. I think it's a little dangerous for McNeil being in right field, because I think it's a different world than left field. If it were me, I would just stick him in left field and let it go. Right now they're going for offense, so I get it too, and they're probably showcasing Dom as well, and also giving Dom a chance to see if he can handle it. So it's always like the island of misfit toys, things mm-hmm. got to fit together perfectly.
Now, you mentioned Brody learning on the job. Is, in your opinion, New York general manager job, is that a learning on the job position?
Of course not. But that's what they wanted. This is the way they went. They didn't go with Gary LaRocque. Gary LaRocque was Gary's had a lot of front office experience. Fred Wilpon probably wanted Gary. Jeff wanted to go outside the box. This is what you get. Now, well, I'm not saying it's not going to work in the long run, but there are some bumps in the road, and I think we've seen that. And I will. The one thing I will say to compliment Brody is that I hammered him pretty good the other day, and tried to make it clear to him what he's doing wrong. And I think, I think some of the message got through somewhat. With some of the things he's doing wrong, and we'll see. We'll see in the future, but. It's not going to work like this if you're not putting all the pieces together to have a successful team. And I don't want to hear anything. I get it. I hear it every time I write a column about the fans and the Wilpons. Well, you know what, fans? You're stuck with the Wilpons. That's life. It's not going away unless something crazy happens. So Brody is the guy that's got to put it together. He's the guy who spent one of the points I made to Brody directly to his face and also in the column. They decided to basically sign Familia to $30 million, whereas I know personnel, people in uniform did not want to bring Familia back, thinking it wasn't a good fit for him. He'd be better off in a different situation like he was in Oakland. But they made that decision, and so far that decision has just been terrible. So we'll see where it goes, but that's where we're at.
Now, you mentioned that Yankees do things very differently, and there are a lot of ways in which we can kind of see that. But from your perspective of having just been around both teams over the course of a short period of time, how are the Yankees doing things differently?
Well, you know, that's one of the beauties of my job. I get a lot of Yankee coverage. I get a lot of Mets coverage. The Yankees are just more professional within their locker room, the clubhouse. Also, putting players, if I had to boil it down to one sentence, I would say most times, I'm not saying all times, because Yankees have flaws too, but most times the Yankees put their players in the best position to succeed, where the Mets put their players in a position where they hope to succeed, and that's a big difference.
Yeah. Talking to Kevin Kernan from the Post about the Mets and the Yankees and the differences. So in terms of Mets and their defense and how you would fix it, you mentioned a few things of put McNeil in left and put Conforto in right, and they're showcasing Dom. But is what would you do about Robinson Cano given where they're at right now? And is this a situation where, honestly, Jeff McNeil's best position is probably second base? Should he, based on the quality of player that he is, should he be the second baseman? And if Cano's range has gone down so significantly, Todd Frazier won't be here next year. Should Cano be in a third base platoon at this point in his career?
I think that would be very difficult. And I'm not buying the thing that McNeil's best position is second base. I really don't buy that. I think he's a better outfielder in the long run. He made a good throw today from right field. He's trying hard out there. I don't know. Cano has struggled mightily. I had a long talk with Cano for about 15 minutes before the game today. And you got to remember, I go back a long way with this guy. There's no doubt in my mind, he got hit by three times. He got hit in the hands. It's definitely affected his swing and his power. I think he's starting to come out of it. I think we're starting to see a better hitter. Again, it's the Marlins. We'll see where it goes. Yes, his range is curtailed, but he's still pretty slick around the bag. And I'd still keep him at second base. Wouldn't think twice about it. They painted themselves in the corner. They got to get a center fielder down the road. We'll see if Rosario works there. And Nito, they've done a good job. The one thing I want to mention about Nito, and actually, he's improved so much defensively, but you know how he improved? Mesoraco taught him so much last year. He figured it out on how to work with the pitchers, look at the video. So those are the little things that are behind the scenes that really they didn't know what they were getting into this year when they really didn't. And I'm not saying Mesoraco's, he's the savior either. But if you had a more defensive-minded catcher starting the year, I think you would have been better off. When I went to the Nationals and I travel all over spring training, first thing I heard from Nationals people, very first thing as I walked in the door almost was, wow, I can't believe the Mets signed Ramos. We knew he was going down so quickly. So it's out there. My point is it's out there. This information is out there. It's up to the Mets to ferret out the information before they make mistakes. And, and again, they wanted to sign some other people. It didn't work out. But they eventually got back themselves in the corner, and that's what happens, and that's where we're at.
Yeah. So we mentioned briefly Dom Smith before, and you said potentially showcased. Do you feel like, obviously he's blocked at first base, from what you've seen in left field, certainly the bat is going to play, and Dom's giving it a real effort in left field, but do the Mets have to trade him at some point? Is it, to your point, is he just a misfit toy?
I don't think they have to trade him. If they make that decision, see, I think you could clean up defensively. Better shortstop, better center fielder, better catcher, then you're okay with a guy like Dom in left field and riding it out. But then what do you do with McNeil and Conforto? Obviously, you got all those guys. Then you use Dom maybe sometimes at first base. He becomes a swingman because there's always room for swingmen. He becomes again, for lack of a better term, he can move around first, the outfield, you know, kind of Zobrist type of situation where he moves around. Dom, I think, is a, he length, I'll tell you what Dom does. He does a great job of lengthening that lineup. That lineup they put out there today is not bad. Not bad, really, when you compare it to some of the other lineups in the National League. That lineup can put up runs, and they put up six today. So, I don't, but I think in the big picture, if you can turn Dom into a good center fielder, maybe a shortstop, or a couple quality arms, whatever you can turn him into. For example, let me just throw one team out there. You know, Kansas City would love to have Dom Smith, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. So this is where you've got to be creative, and it's the old story. If you want to get something, you got to trade something. Mm-hmm. And I think it's unfair, too, in the long run, to keep a player, a number one pick like Dom Smith, kind of stuck in a role because you're penalizing him because Alonso did well. I think you got to maximize your efforts to maximize your potential. It's kind of like what the Yankees will eventually do with Frazier by trading him, I would guess.
Yep.
And you can't just he doesn't help. He's not maximizing what you have right now. And the thing with Kapoor, I want to get this out there too. Very dangerous situation putting him in center field. I think it's going to eventually affect him. Before you know it, all we're talking about is one little run into a wall off balance. The ball yesterday was a perfect example. He made a nice effort. So just imagine if he was like 2 feet closer to that wall. He's going to go all out, and all of a sudden he'll be running into a wall, and then all of a sudden you get the potential of a shoulder injury again for Gordo. So you got to be smart here, Mets.
Talking to Kevin Kernan about baseball, about the Mets a little and the Yankees. And, all right, so as you're looking forward and ahead towards the trade deadline, if you are the Mets, would you consider trading a Noah Syndergaard? You know, are the Mets at that point where it makes sense to try and, you know, they've got some great young assets, but try and almost reload in a way, sort of rebuild, or would you not?
If I had the right trade, I'd trade for Mark. Absolutely. And I think he's starting to hit his potential a little bit. He's pitching much better.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things they've done under Bill Reagan was it's a little trick that Phil has. Basically, they're turning their front foot inward a little bit more, and they're not flying open as much, just to simplify. You know, Phil's a big believer in that. Wheeler has done that to some success. Syndergaard has done that to some success. But, you know, so sometimes, you know, little adjustments here or there make a difference. But here's what the problem I still see with Noah, and this is going to be, I mean, I said it from spring training, his stuff is off the charts. But if I have to think about where I'm going in the future, am I going to run the same road and run into the same problems I had again, or am I going to go big time and try to trade Noah Syndergaard, really reload for the present and the future, which they could possibly do. And I think they definitely got to look at all their opportunities here.
Yep.
You can't just ride the same horse because, the horse has been off the trail the way they've run it. And they've locked themselves into the ground. Now, Syndergaard has a great future.
You still there, or are we losing you on the road? Going once. Kevin.
Yeah.
I don't know, there you are.
Okay. I was going to say, Syndergaard has a great future, but he still has an issue where he has to hold runners on. You could still, if you're a playoff team, you got to consider too.
Yeah.
We trade for Noah, and all of a sudden, he's guys getting on first base, and he's on third before you know it in the post game.
Yeah, that's where, and I'm not saying they would ever make this trade, but that's where a team like the Yankees, for instance, certainly you have Gary Sanchez back there. It's a little less of an issue, but or if you're the Phillies and you have JT Realmuto. Let me ask you one last before I let you go, which is you also wrote a story that'll be, it's online now, it'll be in tomorrow's Post, Jeff McNeil, and it's a great story on McNeil and what a joy he is. Obviously, some good insights and fun stuff there. But there was one thing that you picked up on that I picked up on in Mickey's post-game presser that worried me a little, which is Mickey made a comment about wanting McNeil to take 11 pitches, and if he was going to swing at the first pitch, he better hit a home run. And I got a little worried. Are the Mets going to try and change McNeil's approach at all?
No, that's just clubhouse humor.
Okay.
McNeil sits in meetings, and he often tells, and I think one of the more interesting things about that story is the insight from Todd Frazier about McNeil is awful hard on himself. And McNeil is, with all his ability, and as the scout told me, which I used in the story, he's kind of got a George Brett type setup. He's got to just not be as hard on himself, because he's the best hitter in baseball batting average right now. Mm-hmm. So I think McNeil, because we talked a little bit that he knew some of the stuff, but he was talking about how, you know, it's a lot longer season than last year, it wears him down, things like that. So there's, you got to be careful there with that too. And I mentioned earlier, but maybe this is the easy solution, and maybe we just missed it totally until just right now. Maybe McNeil becomes your Zobrist, and he bounces all over the place, where he doesn't get worn out. He can still do his thing because he can hit from anywhere. And there are some options there. And the great thing about McNeil and Alonso now is the Mets finally know what they have, because I've always been taught by GMs through the years, you got to know your organization better, top to bottom, better than anyone else. And that's one of the places where the Mets have been weak. They don't know their own organization. They didn't really have a clue what they had at both McNeil and Alonso.
Couldn't disagree with that at all. Hey, safe travels, and catch up with you down the road.
Take care, Lori. Bye-bye.